look at this name, El Olam. We look at the name Everlasting God, or El Olam. We found that in Genesis chapter 22. The text verse, of course, will be on the top of your notes tonight. And of course, we looked at the that name coming from when Abraham met with the chief captain of the Philistines, Abimelech, and there was a dispute about a well, the well of Beersheba, and that dispute was settled there in that place, and an oath was made, and that's what the name Beersheba means, the well of an oath, and where a promise was made between two men, yea, to honor the agreement there, and we see the name Everlasting God, or El Olam, for the first time there. We have seen several truths, and I'm not going to go through all the introduction here tonight, but I want you to see this phrase very clearly this evening, because as we look at the name El Olam, we're going to see this statement more and more in power. The Bible teaches us that only God can fully understand. The Bible teaches us His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God is an everlasting God. He's inexhaustible, and truly only God fully understands why things happen the way they happen. And they're for a purpose. Nothing happens without a purpose. And God allows it for a reason, and truly if we trust Him, we will one day understand. It may not be in our lifetime. It might be when we get to heaven. But one day we will understand why God does what He does. The Bible tells us and teaches us that the name meaning, or the name El Olam, comes from two Hebrew words put together. One is from El, which of course comes from God's name Elohim, which means strong creator. And then the name Olam, Olam, like lawn, except put an M on the end of it, Olam, and it means time or age. So if we were to put this together, and if we were to say it exactly like God puts it here, it'd be the creator God of time, or the everlasting God. And it speaks, of course, of God's timeless nature without beginning or end. And truly, as we look at that thought that He is eternal, He's everlasting, it is one of the profound mysteries, truly, of His nature, one that we cannot fully understand. He always was, and He always will be. Then tonight, we began looking at why Beersheba. We went into the introduction, and then we began talking about why did God choose to use His name, Everlasting God, or El Olam, there at the place of Beersheba, under this place of an oath. And we saw last week, as we concluded, that it was a place of availability. Beersheba was available. It was a place that was prepared, a place that was ready, and truly God is ready. God is available, and we're thankful for that tonight, that God is available. And I'm thankful this evening that our God always was and always will be available to us. And there's never a moment when God is not available or without our reach. He is available to you and I this evening. Secondly, this evening, as we continue and as we get to Galatians here tonight, it's a place of protection. It was a place of protection. The well Beersheba was right before, of course, the desert area of the Sinai Peninsula. It was a place where they could find some protection there from the elements, from yea, their surroundings before they go into the harsh desert climate. It's a place where they could find, yea, a source of protection there before the travel onwards. And truly, we see not only that it was a place of protection, but also that Abraham, by faith, chose to believe God, that God would protect that place of Beersheba. Abraham believed God was going to protect that well, protect that place in which He established to His children, to, yea, His future inherit, or to His future generations that God promised him. And he determined that God, who is and always will be available, would protect it and preserve it. You see, I believe Abraham called upon the everlasting God to preserve what he could not preserve one day. One day Abraham was going to breathe his last breath. One day Abraham was going to die. And so he called upon God to preserve what he could not preserve one day. He determined that if this well Beersheba was going to be protected, God, the everlasting God, was the one that was going to protect it. And I'm thankful this evening that we can trust God just like Abraham trusted God for protection. God is a very protecting God. The Bible says he holds us under the shadow of his wings. Speaks of a lot of protection. Our God is a protecting God tonight. I'm thankful for that. How many times in our life have we been maybe frustrated because of a delay? We didn't leave as early as we did, or maybe we left early and suddenly we got into some traffic and we've been delayed and we think, why? And as we're approaching, suddenly we see a severe accident just maybe where we would have been if we would not have been delayed, if we would not have been caught in that traffic or caught by that red light or caught by that slower vehicle in front of us, whatever it might be. But we see God's hand protecting over and over and over again. And it is, we have a wonderful God who does protect not only us in our lifetime, but also he has a wonderful protection, yea, for our children and for our grandchildren. It's amazing the stories that I hear about how God has protected a grandchild or a great-grandchild from severe accident or from severe injury. And I believe it is because of a parent or a grandparent, yea, who is being faithful to God. And God says, I am going to protect. I'm going to bestow their protection. Oh, yes, does he love the grandchild? Absolutely. But sometimes God puts a little bit of extra protection, so to speak, because of the faithfulness, yea, of the parent, because of the faithfulness of men like Abraham, who determined that God was going to protect what he could not protect even when his time on this earth was done. God can do the same thing tonight. God is a God of protection. Beersheba was that place of protection. Lastly, this evening, I want you to see that Beersheba was a place of mystery. I don't know if we're going to get through all this tonight. We're going to try. I'm going to try to talk quickly. I need to take off my suit coat, amen? And it's getting a little warm, glory to God. A place of mystery. What is a place of mystery? Well, Abraham called upon El Olam, the everlasting God, as the God who sees mysteriously into the future. You see, Abraham did not know the future. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what was going to happen next week. He didn't know what was going to happen the following year. Abraham could only see the then and there. He could only see at that moment of time, and he was trusting God who can see into the future, that God, yea, that mysterious God, as it were, was going to keep everything safe and secure like he had always done. He was trusting that Beersheba was going to be protected by the God who holds the future in his hands. He had determined that the God who holds tomorrow was going to provide and was going to care for what he had claimed. You see, there are mysterious things that God has done that people did not understand at that time. Let's use some examples here this evening. You'll see some examples here tonight. Let's please look at the first one of Ishmael and Isaac. Speaking of Abraham, earlier in Genesis 22, we see Isaac being born into Abraham's family. Ishmael has already been born. He's about 13 years of age at this point. The Bible tells us that God used Ishmael and Isaac to represent some things. It didn't make sense at that time, but it makes sense to us today. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Look at verse number 22. And we're just going to read and teach and read and teach and read and teach through this to the end of the chapter here tonight. The Bible says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. We see two sons born from Abraham. We see the first one is a young man named Ishmael. Ishmael was the son of Hagar. Hagar was Sarah's handmaid. She was there to help Sarah, to help her do the housework, to help her to do the cleaning and to care such for the servants and prepare meals and things like that. She was there to help and to serve. She was a handmaid. God had told Abraham that God had told Abraham that he was going to give them a son. But there was a moment of a lack of faith. There was a moment of when they got in the flesh. Abraham is called the patriarch of the Israelite people, Jewish people. But even Abraham, who many look to and say, I would like to have that faith, even Abraham had a moment of weak faith. Even he had a moment of doubt. None of us are above that. None of us are above a moment in which we get in the flesh. And Sarah and Abraham, they got in the flesh. They said, hey, we're getting old. God hasn't given us a son yet. God promises a son. Maybe this is how he's going to do it. Abraham, why don't you take my handmaid, Hagar? Why don't you take her to become your second wife? That was not what God instituted. God said in Genesis 2 and 3 that he meant for a man and a woman. That's singular. Not for a man and three women, but a man and a woman. God's original intent all the way in the Garden of Eden was for one man to be married to one woman till death do them part. So Abraham knew the truth there. But yet he got in the flesh. And he decided to listen to that weak moment in Sarah's life and a weak moment of his faith as well. And so he did. He married Hagar. And through this moment of weakness, a son was born. Ishmael. Ishmael was not born through faith. Ishmael was born of the flesh. He was born through the power and the natural means in which the natural law God designed gives. Ishmael was not God's intention for Abraham and Sarah. But this fleshly look on the future of his family and the fleshly look about what was happening at this moment caused Abraham to yield. And because of that, that brought repercussions. We'll look at this in just a moment. But let me just give these to you tonight as it's just by way of the outline. But the birth of Ishmael represents two things. We'll see this in a moment. Just write these down and we'll come back to them. It represents two things. It represents the law and it represents bondage. That's what Ishmael's life represents. And we see, yea, the very act of that today among the Arabic people. But we look at Isaac. Isaac was different. Isaac was born out of something different. Yes, Abraham and Sarah had, yea, a weak moment of faith. yes, they gave in to the flesh, as it were. However, God still had a promise. And the promise was that God was going to give them a son. That God was going to be faithful to what He had told them. And that God was going to give them a son. You see, Isaac was a miracle. He was born, he was not born out of the flesh. For the Bible tells us in Romans that Sarah and Abraham were physically dead, that it was impossible for them to have a child. But by faith, Isaac was born. You see, Isaac wasn't born out of a fleshly thought. He was born out of faith. Faith. Isaac represents faith. Isaac represents, yea, the power of living through the fulfilled promises of God's word. He represents, yea, someone taking the word of God and believing the promises of the word of God and acting upon those promises. That is faith. Faith is believing and acting upon that belief. And these two sons represent a great difference. A difference that is clearly demonstrated between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You see, one son pictures the law and one son pictures faith, grace and faith. And we see that so clearly transition in the Old Testament when the Old Testament was about establishing the law and showing us through the law that we have sinned. But then Jesus comes in and He says, let me show you grace and faith. It's a higher way of living. By grace and faith. Anyone can live by the law. It takes a whole nother level to live by grace and faith. And God in His wonderful word teaches us through these two sons, yea, about the product of flesh and the law and the bondage that it brings and about what happens when we are living by faith.